Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless you, beloved sister. Sister Ashley alone again tonight, always in the company and presence of the Father. Bless y'all. Thank you so much for your time, for tuning in. It's a very serious situation in the world. So I do wonder if some of you will even be able to catch this live tonight, depending on where you're at. I have a lot less callers and listeners than usual. Maybe you are preparing, hopefully not panicking with the situations that are going on around us. So I won't keep you long tonight. I really won't. We have a tornado warning issued here. You know, we had a tornado come through Nashville, which is about 60 miles northeast of us, a week or two ago, and destroyed a lot. Killed 30 people, I think, but destroyed a lot. So we just, we take them more serious. We've had a tornado legitly come through our land as well. And amazingly, every home we have stayed intact as it wiped right down our creek line. So just taking storms serious, taking life serious, and calling in a shot maybe in about an hour. I still want to glorify the Father. I thank him so much for the appointed times that he's given us. My sisters, anyone listening, he's appointed all men to die. Hebrews 9:27 posted in the chat, Sister Chef. He's appointed times. Let that bring peace to you. He's appointed feasts. He's appointed the foundations of the earth. He's appointed the end. He's appointed the moon for seasons. He's appointed our pastor. He's appointed you for a calling. 1 Peter 2:8 even says that he's appointed some for disobedience. He's appointed our life. So our life, just as it had a beginning, it has an end. As we've seen, even painfully recently, as we lost our brothers, we lost an elder in the faith. But I glorify the Father for his beginning and his end. And I pray that each of us will be Jesus ready. Jesus ready. Hallelujah. So, people are destined to die once and then face judgment, Hebrews 9:27 says. So I thank the Father for his Spirit that works in each of us, everyone who's listening, everyone who is serious about the Father, and myself specifically, my family here on land, off land saints. I got my phone with me tonight, so you're going to hear it go off a little bit just because of the tornado warning and things like that. So keep us lifted. If a storm hits, we'll be just fine, as we've always been, but we never want to be stupid. I'll talk to you a little bit about what we do in a storm, just so you kind of know that how we respond on the land. So I thank the Father for my husband who is led by the Most High, for my friends, my relationships, for the fear that he's given me to follow my husband because I was destined for disobedience on the path that I had before the faith, just like many of you. So we share the same story. We, without him, would not delight in him or delight in his ways. And this path that we walk is so, so straight. And it's actually too straight for some of you. And you'll never make it. So most importantly, as we're all prepping and planning and running to and fro and hopefully not panicking, I hope we focus on being Jesus ready. There's a song that a woman who has fallen away from the Father and back into the world used to sing, but it was called Jesus Ready. A really beautiful song. And as my husband and I still, we're just listening to it, actually, right before the show, and he says, you can tell that that song was just words for her. Here's another KJV version, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, that's what I pray we're ready for, and that's what we're not ready for. We got to get there. We got to get Jesus ready. Hallelujah. So it'd be a blessing going forward with the Passover going forward. I want to play a video before I do any announcements. I have a video from Elder Becker that was just posted moments before the show, or at least to my knowledge. Chef brought it to my attention. I want to hear from him before I say anything contrary, because you know the feast is how many days? 3 weeks? 3 weeks away. And we're gonna hear what he has to say. But I do want to just acknowledge the Most High Yah for the seriousness that he's put in some of you, the peace that he's given some of you, even in the midst of any kind of storm or virus or epidemic or, you know, it's election year, as Mama Zsa Zsa says. So somebody's going to come along with an answer. Hey, it can go by in a few weeks, few days, few months, like it never happened. But what if it don't? And I came into the show one time years ago, and I said I'm going to say a few hypothetical things. And hypothetical means as if they were true. We're going to, you know, say some things as if it were reality. And one of the things that I said was, this will be the last time that you ever hear Straightway Ministries, ever, this show. That was a hypothetical that I threw out into the air. And you'll never hear my voice, our show. You'll never hear your pastor again. You'll never hear or see YouTube. Stores are closed. Your lights just went out. That's it. So we kind of played that hypothetical just for a little bit because in times like this, when your mind's a little bit more serious, you see how much hypocrisy is in you, you know? You see how much you're not serving Yah all the other days of the week until something like this makes you, as the Gentiles, lean to a God, pray to a God that you never have time for. that you don't live for. So we definitely don't want to fall into that category. We don't want to be as the heathens or as the Gentiles or the pagans who pick their day of the week just to serve him. We want to always serve him. We want to always believe, and we want to always hear. I'm grateful for our shepherd who has led my husband's house as well as every man and his home who has chose to listen, every single woman who has made her own decisions. Praise be to Yah for the strength that he's given you, for you were not intended to be covered. As our shepherd says, you were not intended to be uncovered. So the decisions you've made to stock up, good job. You know, the decisions you made to follow your husband and stock up and listen and follow and obey, good job. Good job. All praises to the Most High Yah for our shepherd who has done everything he can to lead us all as a people, and he's done a damn good job. Some of us have weapons because of him, which means we're ready for anyone to knock on the door, and I don't mean the government. I mean someone who is looking for something they don't have. You know, a starving man can smell food 4 miles away. The human body can smell food 4 miles away. And because we've never starved, we don't know what the body would do. You know, I hear the children, I always correct my children. And you probably, hopefully, will never hear them say it, I'm starving. Like, nope, nowhere close. Your last meal was this morning, you know? So I hope and I hope and I hope that you're able to really, really get convicted by the Father, not because of something I say or something that, you know, Pastor gave out some good information on Patreon, some things for you to get. I hope that you're, what do they call them, a member? A Patreon?
A member.
Yeah, a patron. Hope you're a patron. So you can hear some of those things because we just can't trust YouTube as an avenue. I hope that you are, for once, like my husband says, when I said, you think we're ready? He says, well, we'll see. And he really means it because he said, when you don't have anything within your reach, that's when you know where your trust is with Yah. And that's the truth. In Judith's day, it took 4 days for the entire Israelite assembly to murmur against the Most High. 4 days of no water. 4 days of no water. And they were in the priest Onias's face, getting him to deny the Most High, to turn to the enemy for water. Don't think for a second we wouldn't do the same thing, or even myself or yourself. Don't think for a second you wouldn't do it. You ever did a 3-day fast? No. 7, 10, 1. How easy was it to walk by that cupcake? You know? Being for real with yourself. Don't think for a second that you want to deny the Most High Yah. So first and foremost, we're gonna play Elder Becker's video and see how the show goes tonight. I wanted to and I hope to get to a little bit of bitterness. I want to talk about bitterness just a brief, as well as answer a question that was posed to me during the week. I thought it'd be good to answer on the show, so we'll see how much time we got. As I said, it's going to be pretty quick, so y'all can get on about your business too. Let me make sure my volume's good. Y'all give me some tens if you hear it well. Bless the Northern Tribes. You know, I had Sister Jennifer over my house years ago. This is back when Elder Rufus was a brother. I don't think they stayed in our home since he's been an elder, but they used to stay frequently in our home when he was a brother. And of course, as we do honor most people in the Bell House, we give them the master bedroom. And I remember her and I, and maybe even Chandra. Chandra was so quiet. She's so quiet anyway. I love you, Chandra. But those quiet individuals that just listen so well, you forget where they're there, you know? And so we were in the master bedroom, and I told her, one day, if I never see you again, I love you. I really love you. And I know you're going to be all right. I know the Most High has got you. And even though, you know, some of us are, we're in communities, we're coming out, we're going to be little sanctuaries, right? We're going to be little sanctuaries. We're going to be set apart and prepared in the wilderness. But we're not going to see each other. You're not going to travel to me. You know, so when we talk like this, in the midst of a coronavirus scare, it makes more of an impact, you know, because you can feel the atmosphere when you go out, when you shop, when you drive. You know, the spirits had transferred from the TV and the YouTubes. You can feel the intensity, right? So it makes more sense to discuss them and make an impact while the situations are occurring, so that hopefully if it does die down, if it is just a momentary scare, we would hope that we would come out of it greatly changed and ready for the next one when there's no longer a scare and it's legitimately the real deal. When everybody that mocked Pastor and us as a people are now living the way that we're prepared for. When I moved here, there were such a simple people with so few seasonings and spices to use, so few trips to the grocery store, so much in buckets and mylars and food storage, and so much peace. Cut up t-shirts as what we call PP rags. I know one sister in particular that was all she used. When I moved here, that's all she used, her and her family. So I already know they're good. They're good, you know. What do you do when your vacuum don't work? You sweep, you know. What do you use to dust when you can't buy a beautiful little fluffy blue ceiling fan duster? And you put a rag and a rubber band on the end of your broom, and you get it done. So I saw a lot moving here because of the simplicity of the people that live here, and I'm thankful that even though we have gotten somewhat more modern just to accommodate the amount of people that come through, to have pleasant experience for those that are, you know, coming through, to be hospitable to them, we are a more modern home base. At the same time, the core of us is more than ready to jump back into how we were already living. Now, everything else is up for Yah to test out of us. But I do know that we would pull together. We would pull together in such a way that even us here haven't seen before. Because there's nothing but love flourishing here. And I do recommend that you would find someone that you love, that believes and calls on your God, that no offense and no bitterness is going to separate you from that person. Like Pastor calls them mag groups, people who are able to travel to each other within boundaries, within limits of each other. Listen to Sister Sonya Crago. The Cragos got it together. Even Nicole Moore, Brother Patrick Moore. There's people that are great preppers and homesteaders before listening, or they have just even perfected their methods after listening. I remember Sister Sonya did some videos on our Marco Polo group about how she just kind of throw, I'll call them morale packs. I'm not sure if that's what she had called them, if I got that from her, but, you know, the fun granola bar and the clean, yummy rice ramen noodle and the little coffee pack and a green tea pack and all that mylared into a little bag. And I said, man, that's a good idea. I contacted her. She helped me out to get exactly every ingredient that she had so that I could toss that together. I'm thinking more of my children, you know, the morale of your children. But let's be wise. Let's move forward. And hopefully here tonight. All right? So this is my first time hearing the video, and maybe for some of you it's yours as well. It's called Quarantine and Israelites. Yeah, let's just hear what he says. All right, give me tens on Elder Becker, okay, if you can hear him.
Hey, much shalom and blessings, Israel. I hope this day finds you encouraged and peace and striving diligently to enter into the kingdom of the Most High. I would just like to share a few thoughts that, or actually part of a discussion I have with somebody, because it is relevant to the time and what's going around us, especially with the coronavirus thing. And I was talking to somebody, and they had asked me about, you know, about my thoughts about a few things. And one of the things that came up was quarantining the people. And is this, you know, kind of like violating the rights? Shouldn't they have the right to free access, you know, because it's kind of like the flu and whatever, and you know, we're overplaying this. But I understood what they were saying, but I also went on to explain it this way, too. actually quarantining is a good thing, and we have the pattern set before us as Israelites in the times of our ancient people. Because if you recall under the Torah, right, when Israel was dealing with a bacterial disease as such as leprosy or something that was contagious, something that was able to pass from person to person and affect that other person with that sickness or illness, okay? So what Yah commanded for Israel to do was, if somebody had displayed some type of, let's just use leprosy because that's the one that's talked about almost predominantly, excuse me, if they displayed symptoms and signs of the leprosy, they were to go before the priest, quote, today the doctor, and they would be looked over, and the determination from the priest was, yes, this person exhibited signs and symptoms of this particular bacterial virus or bacterial condition, and Yah's prescription for that was you quarantine them. You put them off outside the camp, put them, separate them from the rest of the people so they don't infect everybody else. And you can understand clearly the logic and reasoning like that. Say, for example, that wasn't instituted. That wasn't something that was actually commanded for them to do, right? So he has somebody with leprosy or any other type of sickness that really isn't laid out in detail in the word, okay? Something contagious where it's debilitating to the people around you. And you're in a situation, okay, let's use the coronavirus, okay? So it's a very contagious influenza. It's a strain. It's a viral strain. And it has a very good capacity to incapacitate the people that it attacks or that gets into their system. They get a high fever, you know, some develop pneumonia or fluid buildup in their lungs, muscle aches. You know, we all know about, we have the just regular flu, right, that actually kills people. But could you imagine what would happen if they didn't quarantine or isolate the people in the ancient times, and you were about ready to be attacked by your enemy, and you had all the men of war and the fighting forces of Israel incapacitated and way under the weather and not able to actually defend themselves? So again, that's just one example that we can see the beauty of actually applying what Yah had said in any type of instance where there is an infection or something contagious or something where it causes people to have to be isolated so it doesn't affect the rest, okay? And so that's kind of the way I explain it. Then I went on to say that, and you can actually ramp that up and bring that up into, you know, in the book of James, where James, again, brings out the same understanding, the same idea of people that are in a situation where they're sick. He said in there clearly, he said that if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, meaning let them summon or come to them, the sick ones, the elders, to lay hands on them, so that the prayer of faith would, you know, save the sick. And you can see again the brilliance in that, as in James is going right, you know, straight from the Torah. At least that's what my interpretation is. He's taking that from knowledge already given to Israel, and he's saying that, you know, in James's writing, he's given direction to the assembly that if you've got somebody sick in a way that they can actually affect others in Israel, or you can, you know, they need to be kept isolated or kept off to the side or in a situation where they can't affect other people, okay? And then let them call for the elders. So let the elders come to them. Don't let the sick go to the midst of the people where the elders might be to get prayer, because they may end up affecting everybody else. So at least that's the way that I explained, at least my belief, okay? But anyway, and I see the logic to it, the wisdom to it. Now, I understand, okay, let me go this course first, and I believe that's why, you know, another reason that the Apostle Paul told Timothy that you go forth, you know, and ordain elders in every city. Well, because they had a list of duties that they had to perform. They had a list of functions that were required of them as elders, and that was one of them. So they were localized to the people in the different cities, the Israelites in the different cities, The elders are there in that time, in that position. There wasn't great travel all over the world by planes or whatever, great distances between the true Israel coming back up at that time. So the elders actually could make, quote, house calls, okay? And so, and then they go and do as it was commanded in the book. And then, of course, you'd see the results by the prayer of faith. So I actually, that was what I was speaking to him about. And I thought it was, you know, again, our Yah showing his wisdom, of course, for Israel to preserve them, preserve the whole, preserve their strength. I mean, take this example, okay? So take something that isn't a sickness, you know, bacterial or virus related, and say it has to do with lice or anything like that, you know? So these people can't make you sick that carry certain parasites like that, but these parasites themselves are, I'll use for lack of a better word, contagious. They actually, they'll go from victim to victim to victim to victim very quickly. They infect everything, like somebody with leprosy, the bedding, everything. And so you understand what I'm saying. So if you allowed somebody to say that you had a gathering, a huge gathering, or you know, a huge structure of people together in Israel, whatever it may be, why would you allow somebody with the ability to infect everybody else with the situation they're dealing with? Why would you say, okay, come on in, brother, come on in, sister, you know, you got head lice, or you got all the other little parasites that like to, you know, take off, and, you know, bed bugs and whatever the case may be, and allow it to affect everybody else? You know, you want to see everybody able to be a partaker, whatever's going on, but then again, you don't want to put everybody at risk. So again, you can use the same wisdom, the same example that Yah gave in Israel about commanding to put those that are dealing with infectious diseases outside the camp, or diseases that will ultimately could directly affect others because of you know, contact or whatever the case may be. But and that's something I want to share with you all today. And I hope that, again, this day finds you all well, and continue the peace and strive to prepare for the coming of our soon coming King and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. All right, shalom, y'all.
Hallelujah. Bring me that in just a second. Let me get out of here for a second. All right. A couple things came to mind with elders' words. I'm going to go back to my blog talk stream. Hallelujah. So it was last year, or a specific feast, I was sharing this story with the sisters that are mirroring this room tonight. Right before the show, there was a husband that had contacted us and wanted to come to the feast. Praise Yah that he was honest, because he said that his child had just gotten a foot and mouth disease, or diagnosed with foot and mouth symptoms, hand, foot and mouth disease is called, and he wanted to come for healing. So praise Yah that we have elders with understanding, because now I got to pass this message to Elder Becker, and he wants his son to be healed. But the elder says, no, you can't come, it's absolutely ridiculous. You have all these things that you could jeopardize, right? So his heart was right, but it wasn't according to the Torah. Does that even make sense? It's kind of talking out of both sides of my neck, for real, huh? His heart was right, but not according to the Torah, so it couldn't have been right. But those symptoms are dehydration and fatigue and loss of appetite, but your skin will blister and peel and have rashes and red spots and canker sores, and all kinds of things can happen. And, of course, the fever. And so that was one instance out of many that they have to turn individuals away, because they're looking out for the whole of the people. And he mentioned, you know, the things that affect others. And, you know, let me type something in here for a second. Let's see. So, according to the word, bitterness will spring up and defile many. Okay? So let's look at bitterness just for a second, because we're not even changing the topic from how serious some of the things are that are going on in the world. But bitterness is an infirmity, right? I don't know if you knew that, but bitterness can be directly related to your physical infirmities. It wouldn't matter if you have a skin issue. You know, we're in a time right now where women are dealing with heavy menstruation, uteruses that are, you know, pituitary glands and uteruses that are completely toxic, hair falling out, skin issues. Women are greatly acidic and more prone to acidosis. So you have these issues that go on in your body that Yah does things differently with his people. You can hear all the testimonies of the world of how we did this and got healed and that and got healed and, you know, prepared for this 10K jog, so I lost a little weight and this got healed. Yah is different with his people. He's sovereign over your body. And your sin proves to be sovereign over your body. The bitterness is related to different words in the scriptures, so it can be related to weakness in your body, irritation in your body, rebellion, grief, anger, discontentment, complaining. All those, and that's just a small list, can be a root of bitterness springing up out of you and defiling many, not just defiling you, but defiling many. So each of us have to look at our vessels and our temples and say, okay, this is what I have going on. This is what's not right. And I need to know the source and the root of this problem. And for a lot of women, I would have to say, let me just guess the age, like 20 and up, right? This is just a guess, a total opinion, my sisters. I don't mean to diagnose everybody, but literally 20 and up, there's no way you've escaped rebellion and bitterness. The grip of it, the speech of it, the pattern of it, the manifestation of it, you've given place to it in some way. You've harbored it in some way. And it has to be a focus for your deliverance. It has to be. If it hasn't been already, put your finger on bitterness and say, how does this fit me? Some of the questions that was asked to Hannah in 1 Samuel, it's the very first chapter, but her husband had said, why are you weeping? Why aren't you eating? Why is your heart grieved? Right? So there's three questions that you would think, oh, you know, she's emotional or she's hurt or she's this or she's that, but really the word describes her as having a bitterness issue where she had a certain thing that she wanted that wasn't getting done in her time or her way. So we can't really say what emotion she dealt with. Maybe it was sorrow. Maybe it was grief. Maybe she had complaint of heart. Maybe she was rebellion and irritation. I don't know, but when you see that bitterness that's talked about, it can truly take root inside of you. We'll make a big-ass deal about coronavirus, but won't deal with our bitterness. And bitterness will take your soul straight to hell. Bitterness is witchcraft control over you. You only function in life or death. You only function in flesh or spirit. So if you're bitter, it'll drag your countenance. It'll affect the environment around you. It'll affect the sisters and the women around you, the sisterhood around you. It'll try to affect your husband, to drag him down. You know, bitterness is really, really powerful. So you have to be really, really honest with yourself to see how you've manipulated your relationships, those around you. You have to really be honest and say, I've wanted things this way, like Hannah. I want a child, and I hadn't got it, so I'm bitter. And no disrespect to our ancestors, because I don't know what she dealt with in heart. But I do know, we all know, what it's like to want something and not get it. Or maybe you want healing, and you haven't gotten it yet, or you want whatever your answer and your question mark is, there's a perfect opportunity for bitterness to minister. Job, of course, said, I'll complain in the bitterness of my soul. My soul is weary with my life. And so if you deal with any weariness at all, you know there's bitterness there. You're weary with your your mother, your biological mother, who won't stop calling. Are you weary with your husband, who has always been this way in this area and will not show any change, you know? Or you're weary with life just in general and the vicious cycle of repeating pain and sorrow over and over. Nothing's exciting. I had a really bitter mom. And so I was a really bitter product of that environment. So what happens is you'll become bitter at the person that's bitter, and then the legal ground just continues, you know, may manifest differently. You may believe you're such a different person than that individual you're trying to stay so different from, but you're still just as similar when it comes to manifesting Satan's kingdom. So this is the kind of stuff that here at the ministry we try to focus on. We try to focus on our soul and our spirit being ready above our natural bread. So do things come into my mind when, hey, could this be it? You know, could we have state lockdowns and the potential not to even mail things to each other? You know, state lockdowns, will the post office run? Could I send you something? Could you send me something? Could you withdraw your money? I don't know. Would the money travel from state to state? If no money travels and no food travels, if this is it, are we Jesus ready? You know, are we Jesus ready? And there's been a few scares. Some of you have maybe lived through them. What was the last one? The Ebola or E. coli, or forgive me for saying it wrong. It was years ago, but it was a, you know, it was another. What was it? Bird flu? Swine flu. Yeah. So Ebola. Yeah. So it's not new to see the scare, but it might be new for some of you to be in Christ and have it. Makes you really, really think life over. David said, my heart knows its own bitterness. Like I know, he's saying, I know my own troubles. You know, I know the things that bother me, the things that trouble me, and that is what you need to know. And it's not everybody else. It is so not everybody else. Now, it would be so comfortable and lovely to say that, but when it comes down to it, and you got to live with this person, or this is who Yah has placed maybe in your home or your community, somebody to support you, to strengthen you, to give you a balance you don't have, whatever the situation is, you got to know what troubles you and move it out of the way. And you, y'all already know, I know how challenging it is. But when you think about your conscience being far from Christ and how he thinks, you got to ask yourself, how would he ever let me in to his kingdom? So if I see anything in my conscience, any response in my conscience that is contrary to his thinking, I try to deal with it immediately. And if you get serious about how you deal with it, the challenge won't last so long. Yeah, it hurts for a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever. But get up, dust yourself off, as David did when he was the reason for the loss of his own child. You wash your hands, you wash your face, stop the fast, and get about your father's business after 3 days, you know. So I definitely try not to dwell on anything more than 3 days, ever. Matter of fact, 10 minutes, shorten your time of dealing with things. And things like this, coronavirus or any kind of scare, shelves are empty. Yeah, they're empty everywhere here too. And I don't mean empty where you can't find anything, but it's depleted and void of many, many things. I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to people in states like Ohio, of course, Kentucky, some other sisters in different West Coast states. It's hit in a lot of areas. The depletion is hit. Nobody's talking about it. Ships aren't coming to the docks. Products are not moving. Nobody's telling us when or what. I'm making a big deal because it's like pastors, but he just has wise words. I don't want to repeat some of his words that I know might be only on Patreon. So if bitterness is witchcraft's control over your body, And it's also a control over your environment. It's a control over your children as well. And the symptoms and the thoughts, the disease of bitterness inside of you is not you. It's posing as someone else inside of you, pushing you to hold on to things, pushing you to respond a certain way, pushing you to be sick, to be miserable, unmotivated. And so your conscious, if you're bitter, your conscious might say, I hate this, and I don't want that, and I don't like this, and that gets on my nerves, and she irritates me, and he does too. That's the conscious bitterness, you know, where you're just like aware that all this whole world is not fitting into my world, and I don't like it. But then there's the subconscious that's much more subtle and deeper and doesn't speak so loudly or even speak at all, where it causes ailments and arthritis and cancers and skin issues and excessive bleeding. It causes permanent frowns, unnoticeable behaviors where everybody in the world might notice your behavior, your aura, your vibe, your energy. We say spirit, but you might not. Literally and legitimately, you might not even notice your bitterness, your withdrawal. And Yah himself and his spirit is the only thing that can help you see you, and you have to dig deep. As I said in the beginning of the show, this way is too straight for some of you. And you prove that by the daily decisions you make to not love, to not get free, to not listen, to not prep, you know, to not make decisions that are going to give you eternal dividends. So the subconscious part or side of bitterness, when I was in my great bitterness and I even recognized it, it was years ago, I had a battle to fight, so it wasn't something that I could just turn off. But as you recognize it, you just, you know, combat it really hard. You know, whether it was scriptures, whether it was fasting, whether it was continual deliverance, just continuing to combat how I felt. I knew that it had taken over my countenance and my face. It was a darkness in my countenance that maybe no one saw, because maybe I'm still smiling. You know, I didn't run around and ask anybody, do you see the bitterness that I got going on? But it lasted. It lasted a long time because I had to work through so many layers. And the heaviness that it causes is, you know, you really are one way out in the open and you really are different behind the scenes. And that's such a hypocrisy in women, because we want to be the same. Hopefully all of us do. We want to be who we are in the open. We want to be that same person behind closed doors, you know. But as I said, bitterness is witchcraft control over you. It's literally witchcraft control over you. It's like bitterness is sitting back laughing, saying, I can make you do or say whatever I want. I can make you be this way to this person and this way to another, and I can make you, I mean, spirits got to get a kick out of tormenting us, you know, sitting back watching us just do whatever they say to do, to be divided, to be fearful even, to have no trust. And I always wanted a little bit more understanding when Peter had talked in Acts 8:23, and he said he noticed to the people that were, if you want to say they were in unbelief. That's kind of what he's talking to a crowd. And one particular, I think it was Simon, he wanted what Peter has. But he's talking to this group of people, and he says, I can see that you all are in a gall of bitterness. And I see that your bitterness has poisoned you. That's what one of the translations says. I see that bitterness has poisoned you and that evil has you in chains. So here's an interesting, this is what I pulled up earlier. How you tell if someone has been poisoned? You would think it would be really, this is Google, by the way, how you tell if someone's been poisoned. You would think it would be very noticeable. Like, I had a dog here on the land. It was all of ours, but I just called her mine. Her name was Sheba. And she just really, really likes me. And she followed me everywhere. There was nowhere that I could go. One time I even chained her up in her area, you know, at her doghouse with her food, water, everything. She's content. And I walked a long way away to what we call a neighboring land where I would go and read my Bible. Yeah, you give it like 10 minutes. and it's about a half a mile away. I'm sitting on the porch at this neighboring land, and here she comes. She'll find me. She would find me. She would sniff me out. It didn't matter if I went up the hill, down the hill, and we have a large piece of land. She would find me. I was in awe. Well, anyway, she somehow ingested poison, drooled out the mouth, lost all her body weight in, I don't know, 2 hours, down to a skeleton, and died. So you think if you type in, you know, how do you tell someone's been poisoned? Remember, bitterness has poisoned you. That's what I'm really, really focusing on. Bitterness has poisoned you. Everybody running around looking for the coronavirus. Like, hold on here. Bitterness has poisoned you, my sisters. So it's not very easy to detect. This is very large or very small pupils. Oh, so big or small. Okay. Next symptom. Rapid or slow heartbeat. Oh, still. Number three. Rapid or slow breathing. Wow. Drooling or dry mouth. Stomach pain, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. Sleepiness or hyper. Confusion. These symptoms don't seem like what I saw in my dog. What I'm getting to is you can't even discern when you have ingested the poison of bitterness. It's one or the other, you know. I'm happy or sad, irritated or not, angry or not. You know, you go one way to the next. So there's no discernment. This is just how I feel today. This is who I want to be with and who I want to talk to today. And then tomorrow, I'll withdraw. Don't care who I affect. Don't care who goes one way or the other. This is what I'm doing. This is what I want, et cetera. So there's a control aspect to bitterness that you have to tear down. There's a lot of admittance in your heart to, I really just want life my way. I really just want relationships my way. I really want my day my way. I want to go where I want to go, live where I want to live. I don't want to be told nothing more about this word or by this pastor, you know. But you can be listening every day and tuning in every day, and your spirit will still say that. It doesn't have to be conscious thought. Your spirit is rejecting Yah continually, rejecting transformation continually. Because you're bitter. So I guess this is the reason I really wanted to talk about it tonight, because I thought about asking you all to maybe send in some emails or call in, give me some, you know, your thoughts on bitterness, or if you had questions concerning even your own issues. But I just thought maybe if I just throw it out there as something that you need to finger point, you know, look at a little closer, a little deeper, it'll lead you to great repentance. It'll lead you to a really clean life. It'll lead you to more submission. But make the connections between the bitterness that you have and revenge, where you've actually despised someone enough to where you wanted something evil to happen to them, even if it was, I want them out of the faith, you know? So where you've actually thought those things shows you how bitterness has worked in you. In your old evil dynamic nature, Adamic nature. So you have the revenge aspect. You have the, of course, the deep-seated hatred. You could hate your body and your image so much that you become bitter at Yah for creating you. You could hate the circumstances that your life has led you to. If you want to say the lot that you've been given, you know, the things that you've had to battle and face, you could hate them so much and despise them so much that you've been bitter towards Yah. So there's the revenge, there's the hatred, and there's the murder, where you actually wish someone's life away because you want them out of this world or out of your world or out of this life, to where you condemn yourself or believe that you made a huge mistake in meeting them or befriending them or marrying them, where you just wish someone away. That can happen. Of course, there's the unforgiveness aspect, because the unforgiveness initiates the bitterness. Maybe you don't forgive you. Maybe you haven't forgiven Yah, which is a whole nother topic. So Yah is not bound by our unforgiveness, but we still have to release anything in our hearts against him for what you believe he's done, or how you believe he is as a father, or where was he at. You know, we talked about that in weeks past. So there's the revenge, there's the, let's see, bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge, hatred, spite, murder. Of course, the jealousy and envy may be tied in too. But bitterness really has a grip on a lot of us women, my sisters, and it's manifest by rebellion. And maybe if you're really longing to be free from the rebellion that you see in you, but you just can't figure out why it's still there. You know, why you still might hear things or show things with your face, with your eyes, rolling your eyes, staring, glaring, countenance falling, whatever. If you start to really pay attention to your face, dig deep into bitterness. I think we could all benefit, 100% of us, from getting deliverance from rebellion and bitterness. Not just surface level, like repenting and being free or so-called free, but really, really digging into a deliverance chair if you're available. So, what else? I don't know. You know, the word even says that a foolish son is bitterness to a woman that bore him. And so as I reflected on the different aspects of bitterness for the show tonight, I thought of even, you know, that translation is more like a grief and a sorrow, you know. So a foolish son is a grief and a sorrow to a woman that bore him. So if you do any word study in the Bible with bitterness, you'll see that it can just be applied, I guess, for us women, different emotions for different scenarios. You know, you might not have unforgiveness towards your son because he's foolish, but you have continual grief and sorrow, and that's a weight. It's a burden. It still has to be lifted. And I think we're just not accustomed to, I know we're not accustomed to going to Yah for everything. I'll give y'all an example of how I was just recently telling a sister, I have not been accustomed to giving the father in my life, giving him physical pain. So when you go through something, you know, it wouldn't matter if it's something broken or a traumatic delivery. I tore a lot of my flesh in a couple of my births. I didn't give him that pain. I didn't know that I needed to. Now, maybe that's new for some of y'all to even hear. Like, oh, man, no, I didn't know. I really, like, in my flesh thought that this has got to heal. I got to do what I got to do to heal. How am I going to give this to him, you know? But if he can bear our infirmities and by his stripes we are healed, there is a great disconnect between me and him if I can't say, this hurts and I need you, you know? So some of it's just us not even being able to recognize that there's an empty space, a void. So you give him your flesh pain, you give him your headache. You give him your uterus that bleeds irregular or too heavy. You give him your skin that itches. You give him every part of you. And if you don't, those disconnects will allow spirits to continually minister to us when we don't got to go through the torment and the torture that we've always been through. We got to just be still and know that he is Yah. Isaiah said, I wanted peace so bad that I had great bitterness. Consider that. I mean, if you've been in this thing for a while now, you want peace so bad that you can understand how things just, man, it's been a long road for some of the old-timers here on the land. seen a lot, heard a lot, been through a lot of battles, tried, tested, cried, died, laid to the side. I mean, done with their life. 20 years serving y'all, like Pastor says, I'll never be close enough to him, you know? But at the same time, there's a maturity that comes with growing in y'all that just says, man, I want peace so bad. You want it for all of Israel that it just damn near makes you bitter. Bitter at what, though? What I mean in this application is regarding your study and how you look at different bitternesses throughout the Word, there's different emotional reflections for us as women. So, like I said, the foolish son is a bitterness to the woman that bore him, and Hannah was bitter, etc. They're not all the same. You know, we're using one English word to diagnose it all, but there's certain emotions and anguishes and sorrows that we all face, and each of those emotions can drag you into the grip of bitterness if you don't release it and you don't give it to Yah. So even wanting peace so bad, you just want peace in your community home. You just want peace in your own heart. You know, it'll lead you to hating your own self. It'll lead you to bitterness towards your own self. So, I think that's done. I'm done, honestly. That's just what I wanted to share with you all. Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? I'll wrap up the show with the guest calling 310-982-4226. I'll play a quick ministry break. And you can call in if you got questions specifically. Oh, I know what I can do instead of playing that. I was going to play the new manna food thing. But just real briefly, like what we do here, you know, yes, we have prepped food. Yes, we focus more on the spirit as well, but like tornado will come. Taking things lightly, I think, was a problem that I had. Even initially, like, pastors taught me and us this really great balance between, yes, you trust y'all with your whole heart, but you're proactive. And so I think when I came in, I was a little more like, woohoo, he's got me, you know? And so if shit happens around you, that's an easy place to doubt, yeah, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you know? So we prep, we prepare our spirits first and foremost, and because we live together, it is very important that I get myself right so that I don't evilly affect anyone else, and vice versa. When we're required to love each other or pull together to live under one roof or one building, or any scenario could happen. So taking things lightly is something you don't want to do. Like even with the coronavirus, yes, I might not have the panic, I might not have the fear or some of the spirits that you may see in the stores, but I still take it serious. So you still want to look at it like, okay, this might happen, this might not end, etc. And so I wanted to give you an example. What was it, Father, bringing back to my mind? Taking it lightly. Oh, there was a particular woman, this was years and years ago, there was a particular woman that was dealing with an ailment, an infirmity, disease, whatever. She was diagnosed with this. She had made it a point in her life with her own personal decision that she was not going to lean to the medical society anymore because they had not given her any answers. They had given her, you know, problem management, medications, etc. And she was going to change all that, okay, for the Father. And I really commend her and any of you that are trying to do that. And there's some really drastic changes that you have to make in your health and even in your diet to try to get that toxic waste out of you. So she had called me specifically. And I share this story because any of us at any given time might get contacted just to give advice. And when you give advice, it's not to be taken lightly. What I mean by, I know that if you're contacting me or asking me something, it's very serious. It doesn't matter what the question is. It's very serious. So I share this with y'all because you need a seriousness about your answers too. And if you don't got them, don't give them. And let me explain to you why. So I gave her what I know legitly worked, period. Number one, was a book that tied her ailments and infirmity directly to a spirit. Okay, so that took any pressure off of me, that if you can read this, if you get convicted, if this leads you to repent, then you're going to be, you know, on a better track. Number two was another book. Do you have it? No, ma'am, I don't have it, but my library does. Okay, check that out. Number three, here's a couple of things herbally, naturally, you can do that's going to greatly change, but you have to be, you have to decide this with your whole heart and do this commitment with your whole heart, okay? Do this spiritual and natural combination. I'm going to share your situation with Mother. We were a smaller community at the time years ago. And I'm going to share it with Mother so that she, you know, if she chooses, she can share it with Pastor or whatever. Because if I'm wrong, this is a very serious situation. I'm not just tossing ideas at you. So she calls some months later. I, of course, had shared with Mother. Mother shared with Pastor. Okay, so nothing was, you know, sent back down the chain to me to tell me that I was wrong or to give her anything else to say. So we were at peace with that. It's like, okay, let's put her on this track. Let's see how she goes, how she does. So she had called some months later. And, you know, depending on what ailment you're dealing with, you can go in regression, you know. Things can get really bad for a while, really good for a while. So she had had some roller coaster bumps and some really bad experiences. And so I just, at that point, I was like, I don't want to give you any more advice because I don't want this on my shoulders, you know. I want you to be able to talk to Pastor or Mother, etc., especially if you're putting your whole trust into what we're telling you to do. Did you read the book? No. Did you get the book from the library? No. Did you change your diet? No. Did you take the herbs? No. Did you buy the supplements? No. Okay, so months later, you've gotten way worse. You took yourself off of all medication. That was something you decided to do, and you haven't followed any thing that I've said. And I'm giving you instruction with great fear. Like, your life in my hands? No thanks. You know, honestly. So no matter how small someone's symptom is or their ailment or their disease or health or anything, it's a very serious situation. And I always tell people, like, I have no offense at all if you're not able to do what I suggest, because I've suggested for years many things to do. And I have 100% track record for anybody who's listened. And then anyone who hasn't, I understand. No offense, right? Just sharing with y'all a little bit of Ashley, okay? Guess what happens? 2 weeks later, she dies. Do you know how fearful that is? Well, you know what Pastor says to all of us? We don't take these things lightly. When somebody calls here and contacts us as a ministry, because he's teaching us as disciples too. When you contact here, you get advice here, there's a lot of weight on our shoulders. It's a lot of weight on our elders, you know? And so he doesn't take it as a light. He takes it as a very serious thing that someone's life has now been lost that we gave any advice to. Good thing is, no, she wasn't connected to us, you know, as far as a part of us or part of one of our assemblies or anything like that. And she had made her own choices and decisions. There was no connection between our name and hers. So there was no liability, because we've always, and we will always say, we're not doctors. We just lead you to spiritual healing. Y'all understand that? Spiritual healing, right? So that you don't got to have a license for that. We just got one common book, one health book called the Bible. But she passed away. She lost her life. She was young. And it was very scary. And so from that point, at least in my own walk and my own life, I took things even more serious, you know, not just loosely giving out anybody information, no matter if it's information about a spirit, information about your health or anything. We have to take things a little more serious. And then even when something like coronavirus or this pandemic and this global thing happens, and you want to just relax yourself and say, man, chill out, world. At the same time, your conscience says, this is serious. It's very serious. But I always reflect on all men are appointed one time to die. you know? So it's not death we fear. Uncle Bud is the one that really sparked that verse. He said it at the servant table the other day. And when he said it, I'm like, that's just the truth. It's just the truth. So we don't fear the virus any more than we would fear any other day of the year. The judgment of Yah is set. And for some of us, we pray, we just make it in, you know? So I don't fear any virus coming over me or coming to the land. But if you can read, just as our elder just gave the video, Israelites were quarantined, you know? Our tribes were quarantined. Why? Because they caught things, got things, were infected by things. They lost their lives by those things. So it's not, my Christian mind coming into the way was, I'd be spared, you know? Because I am something special, you know? I'm an Israelite. I believe now. I follow the shepherd, so I'm good. But that's just not the case. So yes, we can be infected. Yes, we can fall prey to certain things, just like the Israelite that called here and said, hey, my son's got foot and mouth. That's an Israelite. That's his son. It's going to test your belief, your faith, your trust in the Most High Yah if something happens to you or your home. But at the same time, if you prepare yourself for the judgment, then you'll be ready for death. Hallelujah. So, hey, no calls. I'm going to end the show. I pray that you'll just keep putting your finger on bitterness and something that maybe I said sparked your interest in the topic and you've never looked into it. Consider it. Think about it. Because there's just no way as American women that we've escaped bitterness. And then coming into the faith, it'll flare up because the Most High Yah will use each of us as iron sharpened iron to show us our bitter areas because He wants you clean. He wants you in His kingdom. And so He doesn't care what you have to go through to get that outcome, you know? It doesn't matter how much embarrassment or pain or how much you got to stay on your face, how many ass wipes you got to have because you boo-booed on yourself again and made an ass of yourself in front of saints or whatever. It doesn't matter to Him. He just wants you in His kingdom. Hallelujah. So, hey, I got one phone call. We'll go there. Let's see. Area code 662. You're live with just me, Sister Ashley. Bless you, 662. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little better now than in the beginning, so continue to speak loud. Bless you. Who are we talking to?
Yes, ma'am. This is Sister Adrian.
Adrian, shalom, sister.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom, shalom. I didn't want to say much. I just wanted to come on and say thank you for this topic on today. I got on a little bit late, but this is this show today, it definitely means a lot to me. And one, I wanted to repent to my sisters that I've met previous times coming to the land. I've been studying about bitterness and looking into bitterness and rejection. And I think I can't remember what the other one was because that was something that I was dealing with, didn't know what it was at first. I praise Yah for this ministry. I praise Yah for all of the videos, everything that you all put out. It's definitely uplifting to us, and it helps us when we're in the dark and we don't know what's going on. I know for myself that I can always go to a video and see, just to get an insight on spiritual warfare. And I know that in the past that I may have projected, I've listened to a old sermon that pastor did back in 2014 about spiritual warfare. One was good and bad spirits and the guilt, shame, and condemnation. And it was one other that I listened to where he was talking about how we may be dealing with bitterness or been bit by the viper or may have been dealing with rejection, that we tend to project those things outwardly to other people. And sometimes people have to remove themselves from us because the negativity that we bring And during this dead season, Yah has been dealing with me, showing me. I've been asking Yah to show me who I am and show me the things that I fall short in, the things that I'm dealing with, because I don't want to be a disappointment to Yah, and I don't want to bring that around my family when I come around, and it's been a kick in the behind, and it's not pretty. It don't feel good to see who I am and where I am spiritually, but I thank Yah that He has opened my eyes and my heart to be able to look at myself, like truly, truly look at myself and not be in denial or be blind to the things of what I may be dealing with. And I haven't gotten everything done or taken care of or resolved just yet, but I'm working on it. And it's just been a true eye-opener, and that's pretty much all I wanted to say. And I'm sorry if I don't make any sense, but I can't really put it into words of what I've been dealing with during this dead season and how Yah has been graciously showing me and showing me grace. And I've been holding on during this dead season, and it's been hard, but I'm here. And I praise Yah for being during this dead season, because there are times where I wanted to give up, but I held on because I hear the beautiful testimonies that you guys put out about others that's been dealing with this and still in the faith. I've been holding on to it, and I just thank you all so much for sharing and not holding those things back from us, because truly a blessing is encouraging and it's uplifting to know that there's a way to fight, and there's others that's gotten through these things and is still holding on to the faith. And all I can say is hallelujah and thank you all for everything of what you have done and you continue to do.
Hallelujah. Sister Andrew, you got me in tears. Yes, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. He wants to see the joy of salvation in us, not bitterness, mm-hmm. not sorrow, not all the things that, hey, like my friend and sister tells me, it's a press. If you know anything, hey, that's something y'all could go check out too, a wine press where the grapes are mm-hmm. literally being squeezed and stepped on and everything inside mm-hmm. of it is popping out and coming out. It's a press. This dead season's been a press, and the next one will be a press. And I can testify with you that He's kept us both, my sister. We're not going anywhere. Thank you for your call.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Shalom.
Bless you. Many hallelujahs for my chat room tonight. I will give a big trumpet sound for everyone listening to my voice, at least, or even on this the repeat. If you catch it later, if you're working and you couldn't hear it live, everyone who Yah has kept, every daughter of Zion that Yah has kept, this is for you. Shalom, shalom.